Potters. Welcome to episode 230 of Crosspod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I am back. I am Yay. Amber, one of your friendly co-hosts.
I am Valerie. I'm not alone anymore. Yay.
You know, I tried really hard to be here last time, but that second COVID vaccine just really literally knocked me on my back because I did not have enough energy to really get out of bed. It wasn't that bad. I just had no energy, and I had a fever on and off for 36 hours.
That's still pretty bad. As far as I'm concerned, like, that's... no.
Well, in other words, I didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. I wasn't coughing, sneezing, I wasn't having a cold or having the flu. I was just cold and hot on and off for 36 hours, and just... I felt like I had run a marathon constantly.
Yeah, that just doesn't sound very pleasant.
It wasn't pleasant, but I did sleep more than I have slept in a long time.
Well, there's that. I mean, bright side? Yay?
But, you know, even having said all of that, please go get vaccinated if you can. I know that there are those who medically can't. But if you can and it is available to you, please go and get it, despite all the stories of the side effects and all these other things in the news. I still recommend that you do it.
Because then we can get back to cons a lot sooner.
Yes. And seeing our friends and having, you know, cosplay meets and trading meets where we can all, like, exchange fabrics that we don't need anymore and that sort of thing.
That's a fabulous segue into our cosplay updates because I have nothing but fabric stories in that I threw out a bunch of fabric.
Like, literally threw out or, like, got rid of in various ways.
No, like, I literally had to throw out fabric. It's unfortunately, we've had another plumbing issue in this lovely abode that I live in, and I'm so sick and tired of it. So they were in spots where they have to get the pipes. I have stuff stacked up for cosplay purposes, and it was like, okay, I can move this here and then move it back and move it here and move it back. But I was like, if I'm just going to move it out of the way, I may as well just do spring cleaning and just start getting rid of things that I have no intent on using, or it's been like 2 years and I haven't used any of it yet. So I just went and dumped a whole bunch of stuff over the last weekend in preparation for plumbers who will be in and out for the next 2 weeks. Yay! So I got rid of some fabric, got rid of some craft supplies that I didn't need anymore, got rid of some old costumes, got rid of some wigs. I literally went and cleaned everything. And now I have a nice, neat space over here that you cannot see.
You can fill with more stuff.
Actually, I'm putting up all my trophies. All my cosplay-related winnings will be there to display. So they have a proper place for them now. So that's kind of nice. But I do also have more space now in my closet specifically for cosplay. Like, half of it is completely empty now. It's beautiful. Won't be for long.
I, too, have been spring cleaning my crafting supplies and chucking things that either I can't use or won't reasonably use within the next year and can't be MacGyvered into something else.
Exactly. It's like, if I can't see a reasonable way to use it within the immediate future, there's no point in me holding on to it. It's something that was fairly inexpensive, and if I really need to buy it again, I can buy it again on the cheap. It's not the end of the world if I get rid of it, because I'm not going to miss it.
Even when I get rid of things, I don't actually throw it away. I set it next to the dumpster, because 15 minutes later, it's gone. Because I know that means somebody else can use it.
You also live in a different living situation than I do, so.
Yes. I live in an apartment complex with a ton of other people.
I do not. And none of my stuff was, like, in a quality where it's like it could be donated. I already knew, like, they're not going to take this. They're not going to take this. It was just, like, trash, trash, trash.
I was digging through some of my fabric boxes. In fact, I was looking for suede to see if I still had any, because I wanted to use up some jewelry components that I had. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I'm trying to downsize and just get rid of things, especially if I know I'm going to use whatever I'm going to make in the near future. Turns out I don't have any more suede because I used it all up.
Used it up.
Which is fine and good. I'm not going to go out and buy more because it's not really a need. So since I have gotten back on an Instructables kick, you know, for those who who know what it is to go down the rabbit hole that is Pinterest and get ideas for things, Instructables is my Pinterest. Especially because it gives you ideas for how to MacGyver things, especially for cosplay. And I happened upon seeing the make foam look like leather a couple of times, and I was like, you know what? I do have a ton of foam scraps because I do tend to keep the larger scraps. I chuck the smaller stuff. But I have some larger scraps. So I've been cutting it into, strips. And I'm going to try the iron aluminum foil over it trick to see if it actually looks good.
That's my favorite method.
Because I've seen in a couple of different places, like the different techniques that you can use. Like you can either heat it and then take a ball of aluminum foil and roll it, or you can just kind of crinkle up the sheet a little bit, lay the sheet on top, almost like a pressing cloth, and then iron it. Not press it, like roll iron across it. So I figure I'll try both ways and see if they work. I did notice that none of the tutorials told you what thickness of foam works. So I have both 2 and 3 mil. I'm not going to use 6 mil. But I'm going to try it on both, and I will let you guys know next episode which one works better. In fact, I will take pictures and basically like show you guys like a tutorial. I know there are tutorials on the internet, but this is just so you guys can see it live. And so that if I screw up, you can watch me screw up so you know what not to do too. But I'll show you guys which ones work and which ones don't.
That is one that I
And
have
I will
been
judge.
wanting to cover because I've done that one before multiple times, but I've also done like a lot of painting with it because that's the thing. It's not just getting the texture done, it's getting the painting right. Because if you can't get the painting right on it don't quite work. So I wanted to do a painting tutorial specifically for that.
This one I won't need paint because the color is supposed to be black and there is black leather. But if it's brown, then definitely needs a paint job. And it looks a little different if you want the new leather look because it's a little harder to get with paint than the weathered look, which is much easier to
Much
get.
easier, yeah.
But there are a bunch of really good painting tutorials. In fact, if you guys look through our YouTube channel, we actually reviewed Volpin's painting and weathering props book, the ebook that he sells. That's really solid and it shows you weathering techniques as well. Highly recommended. So that's my next experimentation project since I haven't been sewing lately. I've been in bed trying to recover from thing that was not actually a virus. It's actually mRNA. It's not even a dead virus. My body just went, invader, out, and sent me to bed for almost 36 hours. So now that I am out of bed, I have to catch up on all the other things that I should have been doing when I wasn't pretending like I had COVID, I guess.
Thanks, body.
My body thought I did. You know, it could have been worse. It could have actually been COVID. So I am very blessed and fortunate that I can get both vaccines so quickly.
As you
So,
should.
yeah. I am diabetic.
I'm still not able to.
Although they are pushing hard to try and get more people through the pipeline, at least.
They try and it's still hard as a butt to get anything scheduled. So it's like.
I know. And of course, for those who can't, and even for those who have already been vaccinated, you still need to do all of the typical things that you're supposed to do to prevent infecting anybody else because the vaccines are not 100% accurate. So keep sewing those masks because we still need them. Though I did laugh because now they're doing studies. Does wearing a mask affect exercising efficiency?
Why?
Duh. Yes. How is that not obvious? Why are you spending money doing a study on this? Yes.
Because they
It
can.
restricts the oxygen you take in. I had to wear one at the other day when I was at the gym because there was a lady next to me on the treadmill, less than 6 feet away, so I wore a mask.
This is the type where they
Good
spend their
times.
money.
I know. Like, I don't want to spend my money on a study. I want to spend it on nice fabric. or getting better needles for my sewing machine, or getting a nice pair of scissors that is not Fisker's school scissors, which,
Oh man.
don't get me wrong, I love my little Fisker school scissors. These are the kind that you get for middle schoolers. These are great for
Aw.
cutting things like paper and foil and anything else that you need
They're
like
adorable.
multi-use scissors for. They are not sharp
No, they're
at
not.
all. They don't stay sharp even when you sharpen them. This is not a
Oh.
good pair of this is not a quality pair of scissors. It works, but it's not a quality pair of scissors. It's not my nice Fiskars dressmaker shears.
It's not the proper ones.
That's what I would be spending my money on, is nice scissors. Or maybe a whetstone.
Oh, too funny.
For once, I actually have all of my scissors back where they belong, and I'm actually looking at the rack where all my scissors sit in order. They're not spread all over my different working areas because I'm working on 10,000 different things everywhere.
That's kind of the nice thing about spring cleaning is going through and just getting everything organized again. So it's now like all of my sewing supplies are in this drawer, the scissors are in this drawer, the glue gun's in this drawer. Like everything is just nice and neat. And I'm like, okay, I can work with this until I buy more paints and then just junk it all up again.
I put the doors back on my craft cabinet so that I can keep it shut now, so I'm not looking at the mess that is my craft cabinet. And I don't mean mess like everything's thrown in there, just that it's stuffed full of
It's
stuff.
stuffed.
Yeah.
That's also a thing too.
I have an entire rack. It's like one of those display cabinets full of paints.
She does. I can confirm this.
Yes. Because I have that many paints. Not just for cosplay, I also paint plaster ornaments, so I actually use all of my paints.
She uses quite an abundance of them. But also
I also paint, I paint canvases too, so.
Remember to check your paints, kids, because paint does dry out over time. They can't always
Yes.
stay in those bottles forever and ever, being nice and fresh and fancy and new. Check them.
It's like makeup. After about a year, it needs to go.
It
If
needs
you
to go.
shake the paint, in fact, here's a paint canister right here, because I have been working with it. If you shake the paint canister and the paint does not move back and forth and you hear it go squishy squishy, it needs to
It
go.
needs to go.
Because that means it's dry. At least if it still goes squishy squishy, there's enough wet paint in there that you can still use a little bit. And this is not the kind of paint where you can just put water in the bottle and reconstitute it. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, some paints won't do that. In fact, there are even some paints where you can actually look at the bottle and you can see where it's split with some of its water components. At that point, you know, and there's no going back. You gotta toss it.
Makeup does the same thing. It'll separate. And once it's separated,
You're done.
no bueno. All right. Shall we move on to today's topic?
Yeah, let's talk about our topic today.
All right. Well, as you guys may remember, if you have been with us for a few episodes or maybe a few years, I believe it was in 2018 or 2019 where we actually purchased the bundle from Humble Bundle that involved cosplay. And it was all sorts of ebooks and patterns and different materials that you could read that would help you make cosplay. And it was from lots of different authors, and it's a pay what you want sort of tier structure. So for about $20, you could get, I believe it was 18 different books, and one of those was actually Kamui's lovely set of patterns for breastplates. And in there, you got both male and female. And I cannot use the male version, mostly because women are curvy in certain places and the male breastplate does not account for that. So I have the female version here, which I was able to get printed in full and vivid color. When you print this, you have two options. You can either get the letter size, which is 8.5 by 11 in the United States, or you can get A4. And Val, you're more of an office person than I am. I think that's 11 by 14.
It's 11 by 14.
Thank you, thank you. So you can get it slightly bigger than this, but not too much bigger. It's not meant to be printed on something like craft paper, where it's like plotter sized, which honestly is kind of a downside. This ends up working out more like Pepakura. For those who have worked with Pepakura, it's a bunch of small pieces that you have to assemble, as opposed to full size pieces that you can just cut out on a large sheet of paper. But at least since I printed it out on cardstock, this is much more durable than, say, your commercial patterns you might get from McCall or Simplicity.
It's not going to tear as easily.
Exactly. It's not as flimsy. I don't have to worry about tearing it or cutting it in the wrong place. I don't have to worry about stuffing it back in the envelope.
That's the key right
Because
there.
I do that with all of my patterns. They're all back in their original envelopes except one, and that's because I don't have the envelope anymore. This one does have an envelope, but I don't have to worry about stuffing it back in there. So, nice sturdy cardstock. If you guys end up printing her patterns or any other armor patterns, for that matter, I highly recommend that you do it on the heaviest cardstock that you can get if you're going to use it as pattern pieces. It's a little easier to trace around. It's more sturdy. That said, I will go past the cover. And of course, there are nice pictures here of what each of the patterns are because they're named different things. You get five different patterns in this booklet. So you kind of have to know what they are because she lists them in order. They have different pattern pieces. They don't all use the same pattern set, which in a way is good because they'll have completely different looks and slightly different fits, so you can decide which one fits you the best. But it also means that they're not necessarily like modular. You can't transfer pieces to other patterns. Like sometimes with my simplicity patterns, I'll take a sleeve from one, a bodice from another, maybe I'll take a peplum from another, and you can generally join them together with just a little bit of pattern tweaking. This one, not so much. They're not really compatible with each other. So that is one slight downside. I will skip the sexy armor because we are a family-friendly podcast. I will skip the bikini armor because we are a family-friendly podcast.
Not that
I
there's
will
anything
skip
wrong with the
ahead.
sexy or the bikini
They're
armor.
not.
Obviously, all the
We're
good
just
stuff is covered.
family-friendly. Yeah, we're just family-friendly. Now, with this set, one of the things that I think would help make it better, especially if you've never worked with armor patterns whatsoever, is instructions. The pattern set does not have any instructions at all on how to assemble it or what the
Oh.
different markings mean.
Oh, schniz. I would be very confused.
Actually, and this is what I wanted to get into, and I'm not going to show you each and every pattern piece, but I'm just going to show you, like, here's one page of it.
So I
And
can get
on the
a
pages,
rough idea of what it looks like.
exactly, they're laid out in the sort of form that you would assemble them in, and each piece actually has corresponding symbols where you connect the two.
Okay.
So there will be like A. So you know A goes to A on these two pieces. And she does not reuse them across pieces, they're all unique. So each one only belongs in one place, and you can't get it wrong unless you misread the number. And each piece has its own label as well. The one thing that I do wish that she would describe, and seamstresses or people who have worked with commercial patterns will know this, because notches serve the same purpose. She has hash marks on her pieces, but she doesn't tell you what those mean. Those are what you use to match up the pieces to make sure that they align along the seam. Like I said, notches on sewing patterns serve the same purpose. Notches are supposed to connect across your pieces. So if they're not directly across from each other, you know that you may have to kind of gather one piece and shorten it a little bit or lengthen another piece and stretch it just a little bit so that your notches match up going across. Well, she doesn't quite explain that on these. And I think that would be useful for people who have not worked with patterns that use notches or hashes that go across. So I think that would be helpful. But otherwise, even without the instructions, I think if you were to cut these out and trace them on paper, you can probably play around with it enough to kind of get the idea. It might not be a precise fit, especially with some of the pieces that are kind of symmetrically shaped on two sides. So they're kind of like sleeves left and right where you can flip them. Been there, done that.
Been there.
Many times.
I sew my
But
sleeves inside out all the time.
I have reversed my sleeves many a time. Not inside out, but I have done left, right, switched because I didn't realize how arm side are set up. But most of these pieces are uniquely shaped. So generally that's not a problem. I think there were only a couple pieces in here that had a shape where you might feasibly flip them, but I think you'd
Okay.
realize it when you try it on. So this is one of the space art. Now, the pieces are not actually this size. This is not something where you have to expand them yourself. This is like the layout guide that you would see in Simplicity and McCall Patterns. It's just showing you how to lay them out on your fabric or your foam or whatever you're cutting the pieces out of. Because the actual pieces are that sized. This is one sheet of paper. So you can see you can fit about two pieces per sheet of paper. And the pieces are fairly small. And that's another thing that I would love to see as an improvement. She actually specifically says on her site when you go to buy these are sized for her. Not all of us are the same size. You know, there are many body shapes and sizes around the world. It would be nice if, like commercial patterns, it had multiple size markings on it so that you can pick your size. Or at least give you kind of a ballpark figure so that if you want to expand it to, say, a size C, which women will do it by their bra size. So if you say, okay, I want to have armor that's a size C, okay, make all of your lines a half inch bigger. Because generally, with Simplicity and McCall patterns, a quarter inch will bump you up a size. All of their patterns pretty much have quarter inch as their size increments to go up the different size ranges, I guess they're called. This doesn't really give you any sort of instructions on how to enlarge or shrink it. And I think that would be really helpful because I will tell you right now, I am not the same size as Kabuki. In fact, I am much bigger than Kabuki. So I'm going to have to figure out how to enlarge this properly. I'll probably start out going a half inch larger or all the way around. That's my general ballpark figure whenever I need to enlarge something. And I'm going to do it in newspaper first, kind of like making a muslin when you are doing sewing projects. Do not cut into your original material first, or you will be
Please,
very sorry.
please don't. You will save yourself so many headaches if you do a mock-up first. So that way you know everything is right, everything's sitting correctly, and then you can go destroy your pretty fabric.
Yes, and even when you go to your original material, which in this case, probably going to be foam, since given the shape of some of the pieces, you probably can't really cut this accurately out of something like Warbler.
Right.
You could do it out of styrene if you had really sharp scissors and you were going to layer it over something. But otherwise, this is pretty well made for foam. Even when you're going to do it on your final material, make sure that you measure twice, cut once. Because foam is a little more forgiving than fabric. You can put it back together and you can add on pieces if you cut it too small, but then you start having seams that you're going to eventually have to fill in and cover up. You can do it with fabric. It's just it doesn't look as good and you still have the visible seam, which is why most of the time you want to allow yourself a little bit of extra space if you have any doubt whatsoever that it's going to be the right size. Which is what I'm going to do when I make this out of newspaper first and check the fit. Plus, newspaper is a little bit more flexible so that I can, you know, kind of scrunch it a little bit in case some of the notches that are in here don't quite match up as I try and match them once I've enlarged the piece. Because I'm also going to have to enlarge where the notches go. Remember, kids, whenever you change the size of a pattern, all of the corresponding markings on that pattern also need to change their placement so that they're in the right proportion. You can't just leave everything where it was and expect it to fit the same way. And then this is actually very helpful because on the last page, which you don't really need to be able to read the text that's on here, I'll just tell you what's on it. It's basically contact info for her, saying if you need to know more information about like how to use this pattern, how to make the armor, what it looks like when you're done, if you need other techniques, because she does have tutorials on, for example, how to paint the armor once you've assembled it. She's basically giving all of her different websites here so that you can go to, say, her YouTube channel and watch her actually use this sort of pattern to make armor in real time. So you can see what it's supposed to look like. But yes, I agree with you, Waverod. I don't know if I'd call that even a disclaimer, just more of like advice, basically saying this is designed for X size body. Please be aware that you may need to resize it for your own measurements, that sort of thing would be helpful. just for those who don't know, and I only know because I look at her website often. I look at her Facebook page often too. So I actually saw when this first came out. But I will be giving it my best shot, and I will show you guys the results. But I'm really actually happy with this, and it was a really good price. So I'm hoping this fits me well. We shall see. You know, amber and armor.
Right.
I eventually end up having to go back to armor.
Every single time. And that's okay. That's your thing and you enjoy it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
I was going to ask you is, does it have it listed there what date that was released? Because I'm trying to think about the sizing situation. Because it's really weird to not see even in armor patterns out on today. Like if you went through Etsy or something, they offer a lot of cosplay patterns in multiple sizes. It doesn't say like, you know, here's a disclaimer of you need to size up or size down.
This isn't like a traditional book, so it doesn't have the trademark information, so it does not actually tell me when it was released.
Okay. I would be really curious to find out if maybe this was like one of the very early first cosplay patterns that probably got pushed out there without thinking about, oh yeah, we need to size up and size down, and maybe she's published other stuff that took that into consideration.
She may have actually done versioning on this, where there's a newer version.
Possibly.
Because I've had this file for a long time, basically since we bought the bundle. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible that maybe she has made changes that make it even better now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as we go through cosplay, we learn better techniques, we have more experience, we learn how to do it better. And then you can make changes so that other people can also do it better and learn from you without having to go through that long learning process. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go through my own learning process in figuring out how to fit this properly, because it's not just a measurement thing, but it's also a, I'm trying to think of a family friendly way of how to say this. It's also a bra sizing thing.
I mean, you know, it's a chesticle thing. I mean, it's true. It's true.
But yes, I will probably, instead of a pile of fabric next time, I will probably have
a pile of foam.
A few strips of foam that look like leather, and then a pile of newspaper.
Amber's going to be experimenting.
I mean, I already have a pile of foam. It's sitting about 2 feet that way. But it's not all the same color.
That's always fun.
So whatever I make, I'm going to have to paint it.
Heck yeah.
And even then, the question is more of, well, which one do I make? Not just in terms of breastplate, because she has other armor patterns that I want to get. She's got a bunch of pauldron patterns.
Mm-hmm.
She has like a dozen pauldron patterns based off of different games, different movies, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And she sells them in packs of like six each. You can get like version 1, 2, or 3 and get 6 different pauldron patterns. I want to get a couple of them because I think they can be adapted and tweaked just a little bit for some of my favorite anime series. So even though it doesn't completely match, it's close enough that I can just change a couple lines here and there, you know, add some embellishment here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Now it matches.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, pauldrons and things like helmets, those are a little bit more universal where you don't have to worry too much about the sizing of it. You can make them, it's a little bit easier for them to be scaled up or scaled down. With most people, a helmet, a one size fits all.
Your head's pretty close to one size.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that you need to size up or size down on that sucker. So I can understand that being like a one size thing.
And Evil Ted has some really great helmet patterns too, in addition to Kamui's own shop. And I know she's probably got 8 or 10, if I remember correctly, different helmet patterns as well. I'm less in need of a helmet pattern right now because none of my cosplays that I'm going to make have one, but several have pauldrons. And a couple of them actually have breastplates, but I want to use these patterns as a base to start from because none of them are going to actually look like this finished product.
Mm.
It's just kind of a starting point, just like most patterns. It's a starting point unless you actually buy a pattern that is for one character.
Right.
Otherwise, you just kind of have to make changes and get close enough, unless you're somebody who's like really looking for accuracy or is competing, in which case you'll be judged on accuracy.
So you need to be as accurate as possible.
Well, in other words, if that's what you're going for, but for me, I'm a little bit more casual about it. I'm not quite as a stickler for uber accuracy, mostly because one, I'm not competing anymore. And two, I'm much more willing now to sacrifice accuracy for comfort. So if it's something where it's easier. English is hard.
English is hard.
It's easier for me to say, sit down more comfortably. If it's easier for me to eat comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
If it's easier for me to put on and take off by myself in case I don't have a cosplay handler.
Right.
Those are like more important to me than accuracy. So I'm willing to sacrifice a few of those to make sure that I can be a human being in my cosplay.
Because, very important.
Okay. Think about this, guys. We have not had conventions in a year and a half.
Well, it's been a year.
Shortly, it will have been almost a year and a half. By the time we actually like get back to conventions, is what I'm saying. It'll be a year and a half.
Except for those that have already been out there doing the thing. True. But, you know, whatever.
Conventions are exhausting. If you sit there and cosplay for 8 or 10 hours... you're wiped at the end of the day, no matter how experienced you are as a cosplayer. Most cosplayers won't even wear cosplay that long.
No.
They'll maybe wear it 4 to 6 hours at the most, and then casual wear, like for the rest of the time when they're not in that costume.
Because it's tiring.
I know that my stamina when I go back to conventions, wearing cosplay is going to be so non-existent. Comfort is really high on my list because I know I'm not going to be able to wear it that long.
Like, even the casual, quote-unquote, comfortable costumes, I'll probably be, like, 2 hours max where I'm like, I'm done. I need jeans and a t-shirt now. This is too much.
Right.
Oh, man. Ain't that the truth?
So, you know, I'm fully cognizant that as soon as I go back to conventions for the first time after a year and a half of not going, I might make 4 hours. Maybe. It's probably going to be closer to like 2.
Do I need to walk behind you with water and food and just make sure that you're okay?
No. No, because that's the reason why you make the costume comfortable, is so that you can at least take care of those things and take frequent rest breaks and make sure that you're hydrated and properly fed. And I'm still only going to make 2 hours before I'm probably going to end up going back to my hotel room and going, all right, let's put on, you know, the yukata. Let's put on the casual either shirt and jeans, or maybe I can wear a jogori from Korea, or just something that's festive and nice but comfortable and not cosplay.
That's still way too much. Jeans and t-shirt. Like, at that point, I'm done. I don't want to put anything else fancy on.
Depends on the convention, because if it's something like AllCon,
jeans and t-shirt
is fine. Yeah, shirt and jeans is fine. Or in my case, it usually tends to be shirt and slacks because I don't actually own jeans anymore because they don't fit. But if I'm going to something like AllCon or Scarborough Renaissance Festival or something, then I'll tend to want to look... No, I actually try and be festive.
I do not, because I get too tired walking around those places too quickly. No.
With those, because I'm a Rennie, I'm so accustomed to being in those sorts of outfits, I don't get tired with those.
You're accustomed
and
to
I
it.
Have I ain't.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Wearing cosplay, since it usually involves all sorts of components and armor that you don't normally wear, with garb, I'm not used to those. Garb is fine. Plus, like, none of my garb has armor anyway.
We know.
It's all soft clothes. It's elaborately embroidered clothing.
Right. We know my stance. Jeans and t-shirt. Yeah, buddy.
Yes, we know.
It's the best.
Not only simplified wave rod, but modernized too. Because I've been doing research on Korean clothing and looking at hanbok from, you know, the past, and then looking at the modernized stuff that's in the future. It's much more comfortable now.
Right.
So much more comfortable. And it's made out of more comfortable fabrics. it's less about the satins and silks and showing your social status through what fabrics that you wore. And it's not just Eastern countries that have done that. Western countries have also done, you know, the type of fabric that you wore symbolized your status because it was what you could afford at the time.
Right.
But they use a lot more cotton nowadays, which breathes,
Breathe. Oh,
washable.
it's so great.
And it's lighter, especially in Texas where they have acorn in the summer.
Woo.
So, yes. We went off on a cosplay related tangent.
It all works. It all comes back to making a pattern.
Yes. Making a pattern in the appropriate fabric or whatever
Material of
material you're going to make it
choice.
out of. And then, you know, practicing wearing it for a while. You can practice at home, but as soon as you take it to the convention, I'm still only going to make it for like 2 hours.
Right. And that's
That's why having
fine.
a hotel room at a convention is great, because you have a place where you can just kind of sneak off to and then collapse on the bed, wig off
Just go
first, and then just kind of, yeah.
Enjoy.
I can't say I've ever done that with my cosplay on, but I do tend to like quickly take off the vast
Yeah.
majority of my cosplay
And then,
and set it on the bed and then flop.
yeah, I don't think any of us do it while we're in costume because there's so many pieces and we're concerned about the sensitive stuff breaking or falling off. So it's like, take everything off and then.
Yes. And I always flop face up because I usually still have makeup on at that
Yep.
point and I don't want to get it all over the linens.
Or at that point, it's just like, I need the AC to cool me down all here first.
Yes. Oh. It feels so good, especially if you're at, you know, a summertime con like Dragon Con or Acon, and you just get to the hotel room and blast of cold air.
It's so great.
It's so good, except for the year at Acon when the AC didn't work at the Sheraton.
Oh, that must have been lovely.
I had a hotel room that year.
So we'll have
All
your
right.
wonderful adventures for us, hopefully ready by next
Yes.
time.
Yes.
Cool.
I will have show and tell for next time, and hopefully some footage where you guys can actually watch me do it in real time.
Yay, that'll be fun.
I will do my best not to set the foam on fire.
I'm sure you will be fine. I will be very concerned if you do. I may have some questions.
Hilariously, my crafting table is right underneath my fire detector.
Of course it
That's just how my apartment's laid out. Maybe I should go do it out on my patio.
That's too funny.
I can't help it. That's how it's laid out. All right, that's all I have. Do you have
Cool.
anything else you want to cover?
No, I have nothing else that I want to cover. That was fantastic. So we'll have some fun show and tell next time. Yay!
All right. So, of course, if you would like to share and tell what you're working on this episode, or I recently saw Kevin Bacon in a commercial, so if you'd like to tell us about what costume you'd love to see Kevin Bacon wearing, or the usual Nick Cage costume that you'd like to see most, or maybe a new Nick Cage movie, who knows?
Who knows?
Feel free to drop a line on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you're watching us, everything is underneath Amber. Otherwise, if you're listening, visit us at cospod.org, on our Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter as CosPodcast.
Indeed. And of course, if you'd like to email us your suggestions, if you're shy on social media or you don't have social media because quarantine, feel free to email us podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from both of us. Please stay safe out there. Keep wearing those masks. Get vaccinated as soon as you can so that we can all meet again at your local convention as soon as possible. Stay healthy. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye,
Bye-bye.
guys.